Falmouth, Massachusetts has been at the center of an intensifying controversy about the possible negative health impacts of living near large wind turbines. And voters in Falmouth yesterday did have the option to remove the two turbines in question, and they declined to do it. Here with me to discuss the vote this morning is WGBH's Sean Corcoran, who's been covering this issue. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, the margin of that vote was 2-1. Was that a surprise?
Well, I don't think anyone really had a good sense of how this was going to go. Politically in town, it was interesting because the selectmen had all voted to take them down. They were the ones who went to the populace and said, hey, can we have the money to take these down? Town meeting had been split on it when they'd had an opportunity to vote. And there was a good turnout, about 41% turnout yesterday. So that's pretty good when there's not a presidential election going on. So I don't know if anyone was surprised. It's certainly been contentious.
Is there any speculation as to why there was such a decisive vote on this? Was it the money involved?
Well, if you talk to some of the residents, they will say if they're in favor of taking down the turbines, they would say people didn't understand. They didn't understand what we're going through, and they did vote with their pocketbooks. That's what they would say. When I spoke with people who were in favor of keeping them up, they said, well, there are possibly some other options that should be considered before we take them down and lose this investment.
Now, you were out and about this morning talking to some of those residents, so let's hear some of what they told you. Who are we going to hear from first here?
Well, let's hear from Malcolm Donald. He's been a primary opponent. He lives about 1,250 feet from the second turbine, and he says he feels energized to keep fighting. That's what he said. He didn't really appear that energized. He appeared a bit disheartened, but he said
the people voted their pocketbook yesterday. There was no vote for the neighbors to uphold their rights. It was just purely selfish pocketbook issues that determined the outcome of the vote.
And that's Malcolm Donald, who said that at least he feels the fight is not yet over. Huh?
That's right. Well, there was a lot of discussion about how much it would actually cost to take the turbines down, and the selectmen have a number of $14.8 million.
Wow.
But others have a number close to $25 million when you factor in how much money you won't receive by not running the turbines, how much you won't get in reductions in your electricity costs.
Now, you did talk to one voter who voted against the proposal to take the turbines down.
This is Laura Kelly. She had a really interesting logic to this. She expressed surprise. I was the one who told her about the results of the vote, and she said more thought should go into siting turbines going forward.
I do feel very, very sorry for the folks that live around the turbines that are affected by the noise and the flicker, et cetera. And I do believe that something's got to be done to alleviate that, but I sort of believe that we should leave the turbines there and leave them as a monument and a reminder that we need to be more careful going forward.
Well, Sean, where does the town go from here?
That's the big question this morning. As I said earlier, the Board of Selectmen wanted to take them down. They are completely on the side of the residents living near the turbines. So now they don't have that option, at least it doesn't appear that way. There's also the Zoning Board of Appeals that recently labeled the turbines a nuisance in town. So there's a lot of politics. There's also already has been some discussion of perhaps buying out homeowners who have been affected and live near the turbines. Exactly how that will work is not known. The selectmen say they don't even think they can do it because they don't even know where you would draw the line. When do you stop buying people's homes?
Is there any way that this could be fixed technologically?
Some turbines do have what are called retrofits. There are some technologies that can be put onto the blades themselves to reduce the sound that they generate. However, this particular turbine, do not have retrofit. And when discussions have been had with the manufacturer, they said if you put anything on this turbine, you will destroy the warranty and we will not do repairs. Hmm. So retrofits don't seem to be a good option at this time.
Wow. Now, I understand our science editor, Heather Goldstone, is with you this morning. Is Heather there?
Yes, here's Heather.
Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Bob.
Now, you know, I have a question about, where there's been complaints about noise and some of these people's, complaints have been believed. Other people are skeptical about them. Where does the science stand with regards to these claims of health impacts from wind turbines?
Well, there's really a need for science and a lack of science at this point with regard to this issue. There's a lot of talk about different sources of potential health impacts, whether it's the flicker from the blades, which doesn't really seem to be a health issue as much as an issue of displeasure with the effect. There's not evidence that the flicker is actually causing health impacts. But when it comes to the noise, again, that's been a part of the discussion, but really the conversation has become more focused on the possible impacts of what's called infrasound, which is very low-frequency vibrations. And the idea that infrasound does physiologically interact with the ear is gaining acceptance, I think. There was a review article that came out just a couple of months ago showing that there is evidence that what are called outer hair cells can respond to infrasound. And, of course, we have some evidence that wind turbines do produce infrasound. What we don't have is a clear link between how infrasound interacts with the ear and how that might produce health impacts. And, of course, this vote, people all around the country and probably all around the world are looking at Falmouth for a precedent because in the absence of really clear science, communities that are struggling with these health complaints, and there are communities all around the world. It tends to be a small percentage of wind turbine installations, but whether it's here in New England, in Canada, in Denmark, in Australia, you can find people that are complaining about these same symptoms, and communities everywhere are really struggling to find a way forward in the absence of any clear science.
Well, it sounds like a lot more of this story is to come. Thank you so much, WGBH Science Editor Heather Goldstone, along with our reporter Sean Corcoran, who's been covering this issue for many months. Thank you both for joining us this morning.